Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Crashes, great battles, and different strategies. After Austria, the British GP provided us with another awesome Formula One race. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 150 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. Wow, that race was just incredible. I enjoyed watching it so much, I didn't even care that it was another Mercedes 1-2. What was the race highlight for you, Fergal?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the race. It was another classic to have right after the Austrian Grand Prix, which also was very exciting. So yeah, I really just enjoyed the battles that we had between all the drivers, and especially with Ferrari and Red Bull, and the two Mercedes as well had the fight of their own. So yeah, it's hard to pick just one small aspect of it, but yeah, overall it just had some great racing, which above all is what I want to see. So,
and isn't it ironic that both of these GPs happened after we released the episode? Why is there so much negativity around Formula One? And after that, well, there isn't much of that left, I assume. And well, of course, there is some, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of things that need to be sorted out. Yeah, like we said, we got great racing, but I'm not expecting to have another, you know, nine or whatever races like that. So, still things to sort out. But yeah, it is nice when we have races as clean and exciting like that. Especially now when we get two in a row. I mean, that never really happens. So, still things need to be sorted out. But still good to enjoy.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the battle between Verstappen and Leclerc so much during the race. Time flew by during the race, and I was just it was so tense seeing those two battling it out each against each other, and it was very hard racing. You know, it was hard racing on the edge, with Leclerc sometimes moving very very late, leaving Verstappen very little space, but two great drivers really being able to judge those situations brilliantly, and it was so much fun to watch that, even though you could argue, especially with that, I mean, that one move in that chicane, is that clap, I think, at the end of the lap, where Verstappen basically yet turned in, didn't expect Leclerc to be there, banged tires, and then Verstappen basically flooring the throttle on the outside of the track, and it was just great to see, right?
It was.
And those two, they are the future of Formula One, aren't they?
Yeah, they're two of the guys that should be around for a long, long time in top teams fighting like that. So, yeah, it's great to see that they can race. I mean, they both, I was going to say, maybe, I don't know if you'd call that racing fair. It was hard, but both Leclerc and Verstappen didn't have any problems with it after the race, and they enjoyed themselves. So if they're happy with it.
Thank God we didn't have any penalties.
Yeah, and if they're happy with it, we're happy. And the team as well, Michael Massey, the race director, actually said that the teams, if they have an issue, they come on the radio straight away to race control. But neither teams at any point during the race did they have any issues with the hard racing. I'm just going to sidetrack really quickly, just while I mentioned Massey, it's been confirmed that he's going to be in place until the end of the season now as race director. Before this, it was just up to the summer break, or the summerish, but yeah, he's confirmed now for the end of the year. But yeah, it was nice to see though that we could get some hard, tough racing without any complaining or whinging or investigations, which I feel we've had way too many of in recent races.
However, one situation needed an investigation, and it was a difficult moment for the race, because basically after that not much really happened when Verstappen came up to Sebastian Vettel, overtaking him, it seemed like, into Stowe. But yeah, then Vettel trying to go for a gap that, yeah, honestly wasn't there, basically running straight into the back of Verstappen, Sebastian Vettel. I don't know. It paints a perfect picture for his season, doesn't it? The season doesn't go well for him at all. And was it a simple misjudgment? Was there also a bit of frustration involved? I don't know. But definitely, I think that move again lost some respect for Vettel with some fans, I guess.
I don't know. I still maintain a high level of respect for Vettel. It makes me sad genuinely to see him struggling like this, because Vettel, I think, is probably the nicest guy on the grid as a man, as a human being.
Why do you think so?
He's very humble, he's very kind, he cares for others, let's say. He knows. He's a very intelligent guy. He's just a very it's hard to you know, materialize, I guess, into words, but he's just a great, you know, human. He always wants what's best for everybody. You can tell that with everything he says, and some of the in-depth interviews that he's had over the last few years. You know, he's a very genuine guy, and with a genuine mission at Ferrari to win a world championship, and I still think that is possible. I mean, he's not winning a championship this year, not because he's blowing opportunities. He has made a few mistakes, but you know, regardless of them, the car isn't quite there anyway to be fighting for championships.
Yeah. Mercedes is just too strong.
Yeah, and in terms of the Verstappen crash, it was a misjudgment. Vettel said himself after the race that he thought that he saw Verstappen move back over to the middle of the circuit, but that wasn't quite the case. And I mean, you saw after the race where he went up straight away and apologized for it. Another example, you know, just, you know, not every driver is going to do that. But I think this one from Vettel was probably his worst mistake. And if we know over the last 12 months he's made a few, but I think this one was the worst one. I mean, we last year with his spins that he had in the second half of the year, I think only one of them was a bit reckless, and that was the one in Japan when it was with Verstappen as well. But the other two that come to mind, in Italy with Hamilton and USA with Ricciardo, those two I thought were very, very strange, because it was just wheel to wheel contact and the car went round. But yeah, I mean, like the one in Japan, this one was just a misjudgment and a bit of recklessness, I think, on Vettel's part. And you know, part of me does want me to. I do want him to succeed at Ferrari. I think it would be a great story for him and for Formula One. But
absolutely.
It really bums me out. I'm not gonna lie, to see him go through these kind of struggles, because I'm a big fan of Vettel. Just think he's a really, really great guy, and I know whenever he does retire, I just hope this isn't, you know, what he goes out on, because he doesn't deserve to be remembered by the way he's performing now, or the mishaps that he gets into. You know, his Red Bull years were fantastic. He was, you know, really, really dominant in that time, and I feel like maybe a lot of newer fans don't realize that perhaps as much, because the Vettel that they're used to seeing is the one that, you know, isn't really winning that many races and is making mistakes and such. So it's kind of a shame, but you know, it's not over yet for Vettel until he retires, and he seems to be focused on the mission that he set out for at Ferrari. I've no doubt that he'll keep pushing until he doesn't want to continue anymore. But from what I see, he's as motivated as ever to continue, and maybe all these mistakes and all these crashes and whatnot will motivate him even further to come back stronger with the team, with himself, and win a world championship with Ferrari.
Yeah, so difficult times for Sebastian Vettel. Also in the past few months, difficult times for Pierre Gasly. But I have to say, I was so happy. I was really happy to see him closer to Verstappen during the whole weekend, basically. I think he even topped one of the practice sessions in qualifying, not that far off Verstappen. And this time also able to qualify on the medium tires. We've seen that in the last couple of races, I think, where he was the only one of the top six having to go on the soft tire to even go to Q3. So yeah, a much better weekend for him. And as we talked about in our last week's episode, you said it, I think, for that this weekend it was the first weekend where Gasly just wanted to copy Verstappen's setup. And I don't know whether that was the only reason. Maybe he likes Silverstone. But it was a completely different Pierre Gasly. Of course, also in the race, at one point he was able to overtake Sebastian Vettel, and he kind of stayed with the whole group of the two Ferraris and Verstappen. Kind of course, Verstappen, extended the gap a bit during the race, but it wasn't as extreme as in the other couple of races. So yeah, I was really happy for Gasly. And maybe that sets a tone for the next couple of races. And let's hope he can secure that seat, right?
It was definitely his best performance by far this year. There still was a bit of... I mean, there was one point after he made his pit stop. Verstappen, him and Leclerc made their pit stop. Gasly came out behind Carlos Sainz. And he was stuck behind Sainz for... until Sainz pitted. He couldn't pass the McLaren, so you know it wasn't perfect in that sense. He couldn't ease past maybe like Verstappen could have, or any of the other top runners. So still a bit of work to do there, but yeah, if compared to his other weekends, it was definitely a big improvement. Getting the better of Vettel in qualifying, then was able to battle him in the race. It was good from him. Maybe we'll give him a bit of confidence, but he just needs to keep this going now and not let it be a one-off if he wants to retain that seat. We'll see how he goes in the upcoming races, but definitely a lot more positive from him that weekend.
Yeah, and a difficult decision I think we have to make now is to score this race as in terms of how we would rate it out of 10. Because we already rated the Austrian GP very highly. I think we both rated it with a 9, didn't we? I think so. Let me just check on fastlappodcast.com/stats. Yeah, we both gave it a 9 out of 10. So did you enjoy it more or less than Austria?
Well, I don't really like comparing races like that. I don't like going back to an episode and thinking... I gave that a 9. Should I give this one a 9? I did really, really enjoy it. And I am going to give it a 9 out of 10. Because, honestly, I think those first 20 laps or so before the safety car, I think they were probably the best 20 laps that we've seen in the turbo hybrid era, genuinely.
They were really good.
I think they're the best opening... part of the race I've seen. Just off the top of my head in the turbo hybrid era. Maybe that's because it's still fresh in my mind, but I can't think of anything battles that went on for that long at that close to the field, because we even had
everywhere.
Yeah, I mean the first 5 laps as well, the two Mercedes guys were really close, and Hamilton got ahead of Bottas momentarily before Bottas did a great comeback in the next couple of corners and got back past him. So
and Ricardo versus Norris as well.
Yeah, that was good. So there was a lot of battles going on. So for that reason alone, I would give it a 9 out of 10 because it was great. And even in the last part of the race, there wasn't too much going on, but there still was a bit of action. I mean, we had that good battle between Leclerc and Gasly when Leclerc did that great overtake around the outside of turn 3. And then of course the Vettel Verstappen crash. It was a great, great race. Definitely one of the better ones, one of the best ones in the hybrid era, and probably the best one this year, to be honest, just going off those first 20 laps. So, for me, a 9 out of 10.
I agree on most parts, actually. For me, it was a bit of a difficult decision because I thought, in Austria, I think I rated it highly because we had, for the first time, really a different winner this season, or an unexpected winner, to put it that way. And it was really interesting to see the charge in the last couple of laps. But all in all, we had, it's Austria, you know, we had overtakes on the straight and they were done with DRS and stuff. But here in Silverstone, we had, as I just touched on, with Norris and Ricciardo into Cops, or also Bottas before Cops corner. So we had some really cool battles with different teams. But in the end, again, we had a Mercedes 1-2, so a bit of a different story compared to Austria. But weighing all things up, I would agree it was one of the best races, and for that I would give it also a 9 out of 10. I enjoyed it so much. I think I watched the highlight video on YouTube twice actually to see the stuff again, and I think Formula One even uploaded a pure 6-minute video or something just from the battle between Verstappen and Leclerc, and that was just it was cool to watch, really, and I enjoyed it. In terms of driver of the weekend, we had many interesting and good drives. Of course, you have to name Lewis Hamilton with maybe not getting pole position, but controlling the race after that unfortunate not strategy decision, but unfortunate time when the safety car got deployed for Valtteri Bottas, as it meant that he lost the lead. But after that, Hamilton controlled the race and even set the fastest lap on the last lap on a worn set of hard tires, so he had the speed, and it was definitely a great race for him at his home race. But for me, not driver of the weekend. Currently, I'm a little bit undecided. As I said, we had some really good performances from Leclerc and Verstappen, but also Bottas during the weekend. Apart from that strategy mishap, who would you actually go for as your driver of the weekend?
Yeah, it's not one of the easier ones that we've had to decide on. There are a couple of good performances, namely, Daniel Ricciardo did a great job again, qualified best of the rest, and then he too got a bit caught out by the timing of the safety car and had to battle his way back. And he, very nearly overtook Carlos Sainz in the last lap for P6. Who else? Yeah, Albon, I think Alex Albon did a great job qualifying P9, and then in the race he pitted before the safety car for the medium tires, and then Toro Rosso didn't pit him again under the safety car and told him to go to the end on the medium tires. 39 laps, which he managed to do, but in the last couple of laps his tires completely fell off and he
didn't
he dropped
stop because
it.
Of a PU issue, right?
There was a voltage, high voltage warning scare for them. So, but I think that was the original plan was to get them going on the 39 for the 39 laps on the mediums, and then they discovered the issue with the. I think that's how I understood that anyway. But I'm actually and then I just wanted to mention actually with qualifying with Hamilton. The 6/1000th of a second between him and Bottas for pole position. That is the smallest qualifying margin for pole position in the turbo hybrid era. I think from the smallest gap since like 2010 somewhere. I can't remember which race it was, but
I read Germany with the Vettel and Alonso. I don't 2010, 2012. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember Hamilton and Rosberg at. Singapore a few years ago, I think the gap was like 7/1000. So 1/1000 less than that is crazy. But but for me, my driver of the weekend is actually going to be Charles Leclerc. In qualifying, did extremely well to get within a tenth of Bottas for pole. And then in the race got screwed over a little bit by his strategy, but fought back. Did benefit, I guess, from Vettel crashing into into Verstappen to get onto the podium. But I mean, he showed some great racecraft in both defending and attacking. Still got a podium finish, and yeah, did extremely well in qualifying. So for me, it's gonna be Leclerc.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you, just because he had so many great battles and out-qualified his teammate, finished on the podium. But I guess if Verstappen had finished the race, maybe I would have picked him. I don't know. It's really a close call for me between Verstappen and Leclerc. But as I said, I just think that for the overall weekend, Leclerc did the better job there. Two drivers that were definitely not in the running for driver of the weekend were the two Haas drivers that managed to crash on the first lap. And yeah, well, of course, everyone awaited the quotes of Günther Steiner after that, of course. But Haas is they made the headlines in the last couple of weeks for some very different reasons. I think even when they announced the sponsorship for the title sponsor, we had our doubts. And I think I expressed my doubts very clearly here on the podcast. But yeah, they went with it. And during the time, we still had some weird stories to report on. But now it seems like the story of the Haas title sponsor is over. And there are, when you check Reddit there or even their Twitter account, it seems like there are new stories coming out like every day or something. Now the company is renamed and they've sold the company and the CEO is not the CEO anymore. And the big question we should be talking about is, what impact will that have on Haas? I don't know how dependent they are on that money, but it definitely isn't a good thing for them at all, right?
Yeah, it was quite a bizarre situation over the the weekend in Silverstone relating to Rich Energy. All started when Rich Energy tweeted that they had split from Haas in their title sponsorship deal, which turned out not to be the case. And you know, as it turned out, it was just behind the scenes there was movements to get William Story, the former CEO of Rich Energy, out, and seemingly he was the only one with the Twitter account password. So yeah, he was able to
see the picture on the milk float. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, there was plenty of humorous tweets, but I mean, I felt pretty sorry for Haas, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, they definitely didn't ask for any of this. And then you got guy on Planet Zog or something, you know, tweeting these stuff. It kind of just took over the whole weekend when it came to Haas. All the stuff. And then they got renamed to Lightning Volt Limited, but they're not even operating under that name, because more will develop on this, I think, before long. But basically, William Story, the CEO of Rich Energy, is gone. There's new people in there. Just a really, really bizarre situation, and yeah, we'll see what happens now with Haas, but I don't imagine much would change, just depending on what the new owners of the company are doing. But if there's a contract there in place, then that there's going to be a lot of money in that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But it definitely was a very, very bizarre situation over the weekend that, yeah, I think left Haas a little bit embarrassed.
But maybe, or does Rich Energy still exist now as a company? Or is it completely renamed? Because, I mean, it would probably mean that Haas has to remove the stickers off their car for a company that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, the company has been renamed, so the Rich Energy name is no more, let's say.
Well, their website still exists, I just checked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that website was ever really very well kept. Yeah, like I said, we'll see over the coming days. There's lots of court cases going on, lots of legal stuff to sort out. But yeah, I think the new owners of the company are called the BDG Group, I think it is. And yeah, it's, I don't know. There's some, again, some not too positive stuff behind that, behind the CEO of that company.
I think that group is generally known to basically get companies out of or basically handle all the creditors of a company when the company is in debt or something, right?
Yeah. So, it's genuinely just a really bizarre situation. I can't really remember anything like this happening before. There was so much stuff going on over the weekend relating to that, and it just added. I mean, Haas, we know that the sticky situation they're in right now, relating to their car, and even in qualifying this time around, it was not quick. I mean, Grosjean in the Australian spec car was able to go faster than Magnussen in qualifying. And Grosjean said actually he felt really, really good in Q1 with the car, and then suddenly in Q2 the pace was just gone. Like, you know, by the blink of an eye, it was gone. And Haas are still seemingly no closer to understanding why they are so slow. And then, of course, in the race where they hit each other on the opening lap when they were trying to understand the difference between the two packages over a long run, over a race situation, it doesn't help at all. It doesn't help anything. So it's a really desperate situation right now for Haas. And I can only hope that they get out of it soon, because they are we've seen the good work that they've done over the last few years, and it's crazy to think that their fourth year in the sport is shaping up to be their most difficult. They kind of just seem to be going backwards really, really quickly after 2016, 2017, 2018, there was growth the whole way through. I mean, last year they were fighting for fourth in the constructor standings, and now they're looking pretty set to be ninth, provided Williams don't take a sudden increase in pace. But terrible situation right now for Haas, and that whole Rich Energy situation definitely didn't help their weekend.
Yeah, so will be interesting to see how they turn up for the German GP. But of course, after two brilliant races, we just hope that this streak continues and we will get another awesome race to watch for us fans in Germany. So we will be back next week. So join us again then. Till then, goodbye.
Goodbye.